Welcome to Catholic Sports View on Relevant Radio. A look at the athletes and coaches who shape the Trinity League. Exploring where athletics meets faith. Now, here is your host, Bob Gibson.
Let's welcome into the program Frank Burleson, the preeminent voice in Southern California when it comes to prep basketball. Frank, thanks for joining us here on Catholic Sports View this week.
My pleasure, Bob, as always.
The Nike Extravaganza is this weekend. You and I will both be part of it. We'll be calling some of the games over there this weekend. You'll be covering the entire weekend. That's quite an undertaking. This year, you might look at the schedule and say, well, some of the luster's off a little bit because Bull Bull left Modern Day, and we know the last of the balls are now away from Chino Hills, so maybe that's not as enticing a matchup as it would have been, but there's some really sneaky good matchups, though, in this tournament, aren't there?
Oh, absolutely. As we were talking just before going on the air, Bob, I mean, there's outstanding games both Friday and Saturday. I mean, what are the best games, and they could have easily made it, you know, a 7 o'clock game or whatnot on Saturday will be the Jay Serra game at, against Rancho Christian at 4:30. You know, Jay Serra, which plays host to Modern Day in a key Trinity League game Wednesday night with Joel Mensa, about 6'10", will be playing against the Mobley brothers. Isaiah, who's about a 6'9 junior, and his brother, who's actually even taller, about 6'10", Evan Mobley, on Friday afternoon at 4:30. That's going to be a big game for multiple reasons. One, it's just going to be a good game to watch to see quality big guys playing against each other, but it's going to impact, I think, the seeding, maybe even the selections for the Open Division, which, of course, CIF 7 Section Open Division, which has been shrunk from 16 to 8 this year. So it's going to be tough for us in terms of identifying those last couple teams to get in the field and then bracketing things. So that game, especially Jay Serra coming, you know, two games after having played Modern Day, playing again another top 5 or 6 team in Southern California, Rancho Christian, will be entertaining to watch, but also informative in terms of how things are going to shake out when the Open Division pairings are announced.
Yeah, we always have some of the great powers from Southern California in St. John Bosco. Of all things, they play an 8:30 a.m. game on Saturday against Los Alamitos. I mean, they're going to play right on Friday night. They'll have a league game, and they're going to have to turn right back around and come back 8:30 Saturday morning?
I don't think they play.
They don't? Okay.
Yeah, that's right, because all the Trinity League teams, which, you know, all of them are participating in the 23rd Nike Extravaganza.
Right.
So they cut them some slack. That'd be pretty tough to, you know, maybe go to a game to about 9:30 at night and have a fight by game. So, all right, guys, get to bed, wake up at 6, because we got to be at the Modern Day by 8 o'clock in the morning. So, yeah, and the thing that's always amazing is it's always, you see, now again, maybe Bosco and Los Alamitos being local and things like that, it'll draw some more people, but it can get a little chilly there in the Morello Center at 8:30 in the morning, as I can recall.
It's so true. It does. It's just a weird time to be waking up trying to play a basketball game at 8:30 in the morning, but Bosco and Los Alamitos are going to do it.
Yeah, well, the one thing, Bob, is that certainly a lot of these guys are so used to playing in spring tournaments over spring vacation and travel ball tournaments in spring over the spring and summer, where a lot of times these guys are playing at 8:30 in the morning because they're jamming about, you know, 15, 16 games in the one side of the day. So I think it'll just be in terms of, you know, after a Friday night, the fact that you just don't see, even during the Christmas season, you see games at maybe 10 a.m., but not certainly 8:30. But, you know, a whole lot of people want to play in this event, and you got to widen that time frame as much as you can to make it happen.
Frank Burleson joining us on the show this week. BurlesonOnBasketball.com is the great website. You need to check that out. It piqued my interest when I saw Capel Valley and Westchester at 11:30 in the morning. I think that's kind of an odd matchup, but a fun matchup.
Yeah, because Brian Mulligan, of course, son of the late great Bill Mulligan, you know, has established himself as one of the preeminent coaches, not only in Orange County, but also in all of Southern California over his 20-plus seasons. You know, went into CIF Southern Section title last year. Very, very good. Dawson Baker, certainly one of the better players in Orange County, and playing against the Westchester team that, as of now, is the best team in the L.A. City. They got a Western League City game at Fairfax on Wednesday night, which could impact that standing. But again, it'd be a nice test for Westchester in terms of going outside a league for a little bit and playing against a team that's so well coached in terms of getting them ready for the playoffs, and also certainly for Capo Valley, because no matter what division they end up in the playoffs, you know, they're not going to see anybody like Westchester.
Yeah, we've talked about that during the football season, seeing some of these great Orange County teams get out and play some of these city section teams. We've seen it in basketball much more than we have in football, and it's always fun to see that because there's so much great talent in the city section. We know that.
Yeah, and again, Westchester with that exam, certainly one of the elite programs, not only, you know, Southern California and the West, but the entire program. And this is a guy who's really, really it's amazing what he's accomplished in his 30-plus years at Westchester.
I think he's put five or six players in the NBA, I think.
Yeah, still in the NBA. Trevor Ariza and Bobby Brown, and yeah, he's done a heck of a job, and just a great, great low-key, no ego type of guy at all.
Yeah, no, one of the great coaches, that's for sure. Does it still hold the luster? Is it still one of the top draws in Southern California? Because we know there's some other good tournaments that are going on out there, too, now.
Well, none this weekend, which should tell you, I think what this tournament, what this event, it's not really a tournament per se, what this event has done, and his showcase event is actually sparked the interest of so many other programs and individuals who've started their own tournament. You know, certainly the Nike Take Flight thing that was the first weekend in January has kind of become probably an event, not quite to the level of the Nike Extravaganza yet, but certainly approaching it. And then, you know, last weekend we had the state preview run by Harvey Katani. Started out when he was at Fairfax, and now he's at One Hills Prep, and that again had eight really, really quality games last Saturday, this couple nights ago at Cerritos College, you know, notably talking about Centennial playing Oak Park and games like that. And, you know, Chino Hills, the team Modern Day is going to be playing on Saturday night, led by Onyeka Okongwu, you know, tremendous, tremendous player. So, yeah, it's good. And again, but certainly this is the granddaddy, if you will, sort of like the Rose Bowl to all the bowl games. This has become kind of like the preeminent event that so many people of so many different events have kind of sprung up due to his success and popularity.
Yeah, 5:45 on Saturday night, we'll have Fairfax and Bishop Gorman. That's always a good matchup. St. Augustine and Whitney Young from Illinois, they seem to be one of those teams that likes to come out and play in this thing. You know, we've seen Oak Hill Academy in the past. And then 8:45, we talked about it, you know, obviously Bowl and LaMelo Ball were still at Chino Hills. We'd have probably a much more high-profile matchup. But still, as you talked about, some good talent still on both sides, and this should still be a pretty good game, the 8:45 game Saturday night, Modern Day Chino Hills.
Oh, absolutely. You still have the preeminent point guard in certainly among the senior class, in my humble estimation, somewhere in Southern California, and Spencer Friedman, who's, you know, on his way to becoming a three-time Trinity League MVP if things kind of hold up the way they're looking like they might hold up. And again, humble opinion, if you will, I think Onyeka Okongwu, the 6'9" junior for Chino Hills, is, I mean, he's been, since Lonzo Ball, the last 2 years, he's been their best prospect, not Melo Ball, not LiAngelo Ball. He's been their best prospect. He was the second best prospect on the Chino Hills team that went 35-0 a couple of years. But again, understandably so, and Melo Ball's an outstanding player, and certainly that's become a story into itself. But Onyeka Okongwu, again, from my perspective, is not only the best prospect in the junior class in Southern California, but the best prospect in the state of California, regardless of class. I mean, he's really, 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 really good. I'm sure that the Gary McKnight and his staff have already, they've got a big Trinity League game coming up Wednesday night, obviously at J. Sarah, but believe me, they put in a lot of video work, and they'll do a lot of things to prep for that team generally, and Onyeka specifically, come Saturday night.
Frank Burleson joining us. Nobody knows more about prep basketball in Southern California than Frank Burleson. BurlesonOnBasketball.com is the website. We know all the drama that surrounded the Balls leaving Chino Hills. And has the program been able to turn the page now and just kind of keep it on track?
I think so. And again, you know, there's so many good players still in the program.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you know, obviously Melo Ball left. And again, very, very, very good player, and certainly the dynamics of this team would be a little different. But this is a heck of a team, and under a new coach, Dennis Lattimore, who's a quiet guy who's, you know, played for both Lute Olson at Arizona and Mike Bray at Notre Dame. So obviously he's got a good foundation in terms of his basketball philosophy as a coach, and I think it's certainly a little bit different than the style of play that people have seen out of Chino Hills the last few years, and with the big ballers travel program in the summer and spring that, you know, Father LeVar coached. But he's a good coach, good guy, you know, really, really quiet, no-nonsense type of guy. And I think Onyeka's, Okongwu's progress as a post guy in terms of, you know, getting the ball thrown into him a significant number of times in and around the lane has really helped his progress. Outstanding team, and should be just a good way to wrap up the two-day event.
Yeah. Modern Day had that long Trinity League winning streak snapped earlier this season. They hadn't lost a league game since 2011. Can we have a full appreciation of how good Modern Day has been this whole time? Because you know, this isn't just Modern Day and everybody else. This is a pretty good league here, and then they've been able to do this for a long time.
I mean, the fact that we're, you know, 2 weeks to go in the regular season, and we're not only Modern Day, but Santa Margarita and St. John Bosco and even Jay Serra, we're talking about four of the six teams, of the six programs within the within the league as being strong candidates to be a part of the open division field, even though it shrunk to date. If it was still a 16-team field, I mean, it'd be a slam dunk right now that the aforementioned Jay Serra, St. John Bosco, Santa Margarita, Modern Day would all be part of that field, you know. But again, it wouldn't surprise me if there are even, you know, in 2 weeks that we're talking about three of the eight teams being from the Trinity League in the field. That's how strong this league is. And certainly everybody knows it's a lot more than just basketball and football. It's across the board. It's, in my humble estimation, the elite high school league in all of America.
It really has to be. I mean, you're right. Sport for sport. There's not a. We'll start talking about
baseball.
We'll start talking about baseball in a few weeks, and baseball will be, well, oh my God, baseball is off the charts, too.
And sports like water polo and volleyball. Right. I mean, holy cow.
How many Olympians have come through from water polo, right, out of the
Exactly.
I know.
Exactly.
It's so true. So much fun to be able to cover this league, that's for sure. What does it say about the Monarchs that they bounced back? You know, they came back from the tough loss. I think a lot of people thought this is the chance maybe Santa Margarita has to rise up and get that win against Modern Day. And the Monarchs kind of just spanked the Eagles the other night.
Oh, yeah.
And made a big statement, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, I thought, and I think Gary, Coach McKnight probably agrees. I know Spencer Friedman talking to him after the game, he agreed. I thought, you know, start to finish, it was the best 32 minutes of basketball that I'd seen them play at least all season. And again, I think some of the, you know, when everybody looks at six losses, you know, the sky's falling on my day, but, you know, and going through some, doing some stuff here right now for the Open Division Committee, you look at the teams that they've beaten. Holy cow. I mean, Oak Hill Academy, Fort Lauderdale University, D.C., Gonzaga Prep, the team from Alabama that they beat is the top-ranked team in Alabama. You know, they beat the top-ranked team in Oregon. So all their losses, I mean, you know, it sounds funny because they're not weak, but, you know, the six losses they have, St. John Bosco is the lesser of those
right.
six teams. I mean, it's more a case of, I think, the quality of opposition they played in those outside of California events, and also when you're, you know, you're flying to Florida, you're flying to Oregon, you're flying to West Virginia, you're flying to Springfield, Massachusetts, where they played Mount Verde. You know, you don't get the time in the gym to just practice and work out things and work on your weaknesses. I mean, you don't work on weaknesses during games. You work on weaknesses, you know, in the 2 hours a day that you practice and behind closed doors. So I think the fact that they didn't really have a lot of continuity in their practice schedules and things like that had to impact, you know, things like execution and chemistry and things like that. I mean, people forget there's still, you know, multiple freshmen and things like that and newcomers who are playing for this team, even though the the foundation of this team is certainly, you know, an outstanding group of seniors.
Yeah, and in our closing moment here with Frank Burleson, just real quick, wanted to talk about kind of the rest of Southern California a little bit. We know Bishop Montgomery is a defending state champion. Is it Bishop Montgomery, Sierra Canyon, and then everybody else kind of falls down after that?
I would say right now that the two teams, and I've seen everybody, the two teams that are clearly, again, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to, you know, roll to the division,
right,
open division final or whatnot, but I think, you know, unbeaten Bishop Montgomery and once beaten Etowah are just playing at a really, really high level of basketball at both ends of the floor right now in terms of, you know, execution and skilled guys who can make baskets and just, you know, where they separate themselves as of right now. You know, defensively, they're just so good in their man-to-man defenses. They're just tough to, you know, get quality shots in the half court, get transitions opportunity, and you almost never get offensive rebounds against them. So those are the teams that, again, barring some major upsets, I think in the next 2 weeks, I would be kind of surprised if those aren't, you know, the top two seeds going into the open division playoffs. But again, so many good teams are going to be in that field from 1 to 8 that, you know, especially when the field's been cut to 8 now, it's almost like they're literally starting off each first round game is a quarterfinal playoff game. In reality, there won't be any championships games in any other divisions that will approach the quality of team or competitiveness that you're going to see in the first rounds of these four Southern Section open division games.
Right, and that's how I meant to say it was at Etowah. I know Sierra Canyon is one of the teams in the mix as well.
Canyon.
But yeah, clearly Bishop Montgomery and Etowah are the two top powers when it comes to the open division. And it might be interesting to see if a team in, like Modern Day or Abasco on the bubble maybe gets bumped out of the open division. You wouldn't think so, but crazier things have happened.
Well, I think Modern Day, unless they collapse, I mean, those two games last week, you know, road win at Santa Margarita and a home win against St. John, those are huge. And I think what myself and the rest of the committee will, you know, certainly when you look at the fact that, again, you go into Oregon, you beat the number one team in Oregon, you go to Florida, you beat the number one team in Alabama, and then, you know, University of Fort Lauderdale is a team that's probably as physically gifted as any high school team in the country. And that's a team, you know, Modern Day had an 18-point lead against, I think, early in the second half and lost in overtime. So I think Modern Day, barring something, some kind of catastrophe, you know, they're going to be in the open division and one of the upper seeds for sure.
So it's going to be fun. The Nike Extravaganza, of course, this weekend. Get out there and take a look at all that great talent, and then it's just right around the corner. We're talking playoff time, and I know it's a fun part of the year, Frank.
Yeah, it's a nice little preview to some of the – actually, it's more of a preview. It's more like a preview of the championship bracket or the semifinal brackets of the playoffs instead of just the playoffs themselves. I mean, these are all going to be, again, you know, a good way, you know, you got that outstanding Jay Sarah Rancho Christian game Friday, and then certainly wrapping up things with Saturday night, which should be just a terrific, terrific game.
So sounds good. Frank Burleson, the website is burlesononbasketball.com. Frank, want to thank you again for joining us, and we'll check back in with you as we get closer to those championship games just around the corner. Thanks again.
Yeah, thanks for having Bob. Looking forward to seeing you this weekend.
Thanks again, Frank. Looking forward to seeing you out there as well. Don't forget, Nike Extravaganza 23, Modern Day High School. Get out there and see some of the top basketball action. Thanks again to Frank Burleson. BurlesonOnBasketball.com. It's a website you want to check out if you're a big basketball fan like the rest of us here. Quick time out here on Catholic Sports View. When we come back, much more. You're listening to Relevant Radio.
We have been so excited about Catholic Night at the Honda Center that we couldn't wait to start promoting the event. The Anaheim Ducks even sent Wildling himself to help with the planning. And I'd say it's going pretty well. He helped us coordinate the logistics. He tried sending out a few emails. Even walked us through our slap shots. But you know, it'd be really great if everybody just showed up and had a wonderful time. So join us Friday, February 9th at the Honda Center for Catholic Night. Wild Wing and the Ducks will bring the action and we'll bring the spirit.
Sports View, and we're joined by the Director of Communications with the Diocese of Orange, and that's Ryan Linger. And Ryan, thanks for taking a couple of minutes. We want to talk about Ducks and a Catholic night out at the Anaheim Ducks game, and I think this is a really unique opportunity. How did this all get together?
You know, thank you for inviting me to come by this morning. It's just been amazing working with the Anaheim Ducks. We started Catholic Night 3 years ago, so this is going to our third year, and we've really expanded the program this year. So Catholic Night is really going to be on display, everything from the marquee along the 57 to all the signage in the stadium to all of our Trinity League hockey teams playing after the game. We're even in discussions in having the Rosary dance team participate. So we've got end-to-end, all the schools, all the hockey teams participating. It's going to be a real celebration of our Catholic education system and also our hockey programs.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's really a chance to highlight a lot of what's going on within the diocese, and there's so much going on right now with the cathedral and everything else going on. Is it really a chance to spotlight just all those things that are happening?
Absolutely. You know, when we look at the Diocese of Orange, you know, Catholics take up about 40% of the population. So we're really looking at major venues and partnerships that we can really bring our community together to celebrate in a little bit different ways. You know, we celebrate Mass together in communion every Sunday. How can we sort of expand that and celebrate other aspects of our very dynamic community?
Yeah, you talk about the hockey teams in the Trinity League, and we featured them here on the program. Santa Margarita, national champions, mm-hmm. just last season. It's fun to be able to look at all these student athletes that play in the Trinity that, like we do here, but nice to highlight them as well. And those ice hockey teams have really grown to be big time programs here in the last few years.
Absolutely. You know, hockey is really becoming a premier sport for high school kids. You know, I remember when I was back in school, it was all about football and basketball. Now right. lacrosse obviously has gotten huge, and hockey is falling right behind. So Santa Margarita has been in it for quite a number of years. Modern Day founded their team 4 or 5 years ago, I think, and now they're really, you know, playing at a very high level. Servite's been at it for a long time, and we're pulling in Jay Sarah this year. So February 9th is going to be hockey night, and they're going to be on the ice, the big ice, under the lights,
right.
With hopefully several thousand Catholics, you know, rooting them on.
It's going to be fun. We've covered games over there at the pond before, at the Pond Honda Center. That's how old I am. I'm still calling it the Pond.
I remember that.
That's what it is, right?
Yeah,
to all of us that have been around here a few years.
Yeah.
But it's so much fun to see all that. You know, how tough is this to put all this together? You know, for you, you're the point person for this.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot goes into putting this night together. How much goes into putting it together by the time the night happens?
It's really quite an effort. You know, we started this a few years ago. We sort of had the idea, and we went to leadership at the Honda Center and the Ducks, and they were excited to partner with us, but it kind of started small to kind of see how it worked out. And it's been really incredible, and we've, you know, steadily increased the number of folks coming. We had well over 500 last year, and now we're really becoming really a premier sponsor of the evening, aiming to get 3,000 or 4,000 people there. But it's really, you know, these partnerships that the church does with, you know, secular entities, it takes a little bit sort of to feel the way and realize that this is a great sort of partnership and we can work together on doing something. They've been incredibly receptive, and now we're really kind of taking it to the next level this year. Thus, we really want to get the word out early. Tickets are available. The first 500 folks that buy tickets, they get a branded hat, Ducks Catholic Night co-branded hat, which is pretty incredible. And each year we'll do kind of a new version of that. So it's really a fun thing for the first 500 folks that get online and buy tickets.
I know one of the fun aspects of this was a video that was put together, here at the cathedral, and I saw it on Facebook. So I encourage anyone that hasn't seen it, go onto Facebook. If you're not following the Christ Cathedral, Facebook page, go ahead and log on there, and you can check out the video. That was a lot of fun. How much fun was it to put that together?
Well, it was great because we actually had Wild Wing came over with a team from the Ducks, and Father Christopher Smith, who's the rector and Episcopal vicar of the campus, is an avid hockey fan. He goes to every single game. game. He's very intense about it. So he was able to meet Wild Wing, and they did a really fun video together to promote Hockey Night. So it's quite a cool thing. You should check it out. Wild Wing is working with Father Christopher and kind of planning and putting together the whole plan.
Ryan Nillinger, and the Director of Communications with the Diocese of Orange, joining us for a couple of minutes here on Catholic Sports View. We're talking about Catholic Night out at the Anaheim Ducks game. It's coming. What's the date again? It's
February 9th.
February 9th, yeah. Hey, get your tickets now. You know, get on and get your tickets. As we mentioned, first 500 people who sign up get a cool hat, a Ducks Catholic Night hat that's branded. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And get your tickets early because, you know, the Ducks are one of the hottest tickets in town. We're talking about one of the best teams in hockey right here. Does this event lend itself to other events like this happening with other organizations?
Yeah, I think so. You know, for years and years, we had a baseball night with the Angels. And we suspended that a couple years ago. We'd been doing it for a long time, and we needed something that was a little bit more energy and really got people excited. So we sort of transitioned into doing this, the Hockey Night, which I think has, you know, incredible legs on it. And we're looking always for other interesting and innovative things we can do as a community together, just sort of Catholics coming together and doing something fun together. And really, you know, acknowledging the energy that's in our diocese. So, you know, we're considering a number of different things, but the Hockey Night is really taken off, and we're just so excited to see it flourish.
Well, I think that really lends itself, you know, obviously to the whole experience, right? I mean, you're talking about having the chances to have fun, to come together as a community, and really what this new cathedral that's coming together here so quickly is really all about. To have this campus, I think, really kind of presents more opportunities to bring people together as a community.
It absolutely does. So we came off of Christ Fest, which was our big music festival. Right. We had about 6,000 or 7,000 people out here for that. And then now we're leading into our big Catholic night at the Honda Center. So we're doing a lot of really large-scale entertainment celebration events, and it's just been amazing. People are really responding well. And it just shows that beyond, you know, Sunday Mass and all the wonderful things happening at the parishes, there's an incredible hunger to come together and celebrate different ways and have events together and really spend even more time together. So really allowing our faith and our community to sort of include all aspects of our lives.
Well, we're really looking forward to it. Again, give us the details again, and how can people get their tickets?
So Catholic Night, February 9th at Honda Center. You can go to the Anaheim Ducks website, Anaheim Ducks / Catholic Night, or just enter Catholic Night into the search bar when you're there, and it'll take you right to the landing page, and you can purchase your tickets there.
So get on there now. Get your tickets. Put it on the calendar. Get it going, and get your hat, and you can wear it proudly to the game that night. Ryan, I want to thank you for joining us for a couple minutes here, and go Ducks.
Thank you. Go Ducks.
And go Catholic Night.
Go Catholic Night. Thank you so much. So glad to be with you.
All right. Thanks, Ryan. I am Bob Gibson, and we thank you for joining us right here on Catholic Sports View, where athletics meets faith.
We have been so excited about Catholic Night at the Honda Center that we couldn't wait to start promoting the event. The Anaheim Ducks even sent Wild Wing himself to help with the planning. And I'd say it's going pretty well. He helped us coordinate the logistics. He tried sending out a few emails. He even walked us through our slap shots. But you know, it'd be really great if everybody just showed up and had a wonderful time. So join us Friday, February 9th at the Honda Center for Catholic Night. Wild Wing and the Ducks will bring the action, and we'll bring the spirit.
The Diocese of Orange is excited to announce our new online store. The Orange County Catholic Bookstore has thousands of Catholic product offerings, from prayer cards to crucifixes, statues, and icons. Whether you're searching for that special devotional gift, products, or books that support your personal faith journey, or a beautiful image or statue for your home or business, please visit store.occatholic.com. Proceeds from purchases help to sustain the social outreach, educational, and pastoral ministry of the Diocese of Orange.
chart-topping worship vocalist Matt Maher will perform at Christ Cathedral on February 10th as part of his Echoes of Worship tour. Don't miss Matt Maher performing at one of the most incredible, beautiful, and inspiring locations in the country, Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove. Get your tickets today at transparentproductions.com. That's transparentproductions.com.
This coming July, join Bishop Tim Fryer, the Diocesan Choir, and priests from throughout the Diocese of Orange on a pilgrimage to Vatican City in Rome, followed by a Mediterranean cruise departing from Naples that will take you to some of the most beautiful and historic sites in Christendom. Visit the birthplace of St. Junipero Serra in Mallorca, Spain. Celebrate Mass in the famed Gaudi Cathedral of Sagrada Familia in Barcelona, and visit Pisa and Florence, Italy. For more information, call 877-538-0010 or go to occatholic.com/travel.
Let's welcome into the program the head boy soccer coach at Modern Day High School, and that is Sean Gainey. Coach, thanks for taking a couple of minutes to join us this week on the program.
Hey, Bob, how you doing? I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, we're glad to have you on because we want to talk some Modern Day soccer. It's a good season going so far for you guys. Obviously, you've got to be excited about what you've seen out of your team so far.
Yeah, we're having a great season. Really excited. It's a great group of kids. They've worked so hard for each other, and they're reaping the rewards of all their work that they've put in. Especially the kids we've had for 4 years. Over the program, we've had probably 10 seniors that are currently on the team that played varsity as a freshman. So we've kind of have grown them, and we kind of knew that if they put in the work, that this would be a special year, and sure enough, here we are.
Now, there's no way that anywhere in the country there's a more competitive league than the Trinity League, because these top three teams, you know them so well, your guys, Servite, and of course Santa Margarita. I mean, you're talking about some of the best soccer talent anywhere.
Yeah, for sure. You know, that's kind of why I came to Modern Day, was to put myself against the best at the high school level. And it's proved to be that every single year. Ever in the 7 years that I've been here at Modern Day, the Trinity League has always been so competitive, and it's always come down to the wire. It's been great, and this year is no different. You know, I think Santa Margarita is tremendous. Obviously, they got Kyle Carey, who's a special player, and Servite's, again, on top of the league currently, but we're hoping to catch them. So
obviously, it's I don't want to say frustrating, because it's obviously a challenge to play to a couple of programs like that, but it's got to be fun as well to pit your team up there and challenge the great Servite program and the Santa Margarita program.
Absolutely. I don't ever want to be in a position where we're not playing against the best and we're not putting ourselves against the best. You know, we don't measure ourselves by the outcomes, but by how we're doing against the best, how we're playing our own game and trying to be the best version of our team that we can. And we can only do that against the best. So naturally, the Trinity League's a great barometer for that. And this year we've done pretty well. So we want to keep the ball rolling. We want to try and keep being the best we can at the right times, and at the end of the season is the right time. So,
Sean Gainey joining us, the head boy soccer coach at Modern Day High School. The Monarchs, just one loss on the season. That one loss was to Servite, just about a week and a half ago, and that was at your home field. So, how did your kids react to that first loss of the season after having such a long winning streak to start the year?
It was tough. But our kids knew that we competed and battled. You know, we looked at our performance overall, and we knew we were in the game. You know, we talked after the game and we asked, was it a winnable game? And everybody to a man said yes. We were a little unfortunate, but we definitely learned from that game. That, like we said, we want to be the best version of ourselves come the end of the season, and we want to be playing against the best. And if that's a game where that's the best currently, we like where we're at. We like what we learned from that game, and we think we're better for having gone through a game like that.
Well, I'll say the kids bounced back, because then you shut out Santa Margarita the very next game 2-0. So, I mean, that shows you right there that your kids are pretty resilient.
Yeah, for sure, and they are, and they know. Like I said, everybody to a man thought that was a winnable game, and they're up for those type of games. You know, a lot of these kids play together in club and whatnot, so they know each other, and so they're up for every game. You know, they want to prove that they're the best so they can have bragging rights when they go back to the club and whatnot. So they're always competitive games when they play anybody in the Trinity League.
And then you get Servite one more time here at the end of the at the end of the year.
Yeah, so we're looking forward to that one for sure.
Yeah, Sean Gainey joining us, Modern Day Monarch head boys soccer coach, off to a great start this season. And I say a great start. I mean, really, we're at the end of the season, regular season right now, and we're looking towards the postseason. It gets even tougher now when you start talking about getting the best of the best into that that postseason tournament.
Yeah, for sure. The CIF, especially in Division One. The way they've done it now, where they've structured it to where the top teams are all in Division One, it's not just by leagues anymore. It is the best of the best. And like I said before, we want to be playing the best of the best. So we want to be playing our best soccer come that first round of the playoffs, second round of the playoffs, wherever we can get to. We just want to be the best version of what we can be so that we can compete and see how far we can go.
Yeah, when you look at the health of soccer in Southern California, I mean, is this really the area where some of the obviously some of the best soccer being played here? But are we seeing the best soccer right here in Southern California at the high school level?
Yeah, I think so. We go down to San Diego and we play in a tournament. And we see those teams. We've been around. We've gone up to north the last couple of years to play at De La Salle. We've been over to Arizona to play in tournaments there, and really. The competition here is bar none. I think the teams here, the coaching here, the talent here, I don't see it as readily available with as many schools as I do here, Orange County, San Diego, and Southern California. So for sure, I would say it's probably the most competitive around here, if not in the country at this time period.
Were you that typical kid who grew up, you know, playing AYSO and kind of getting the early bug of soccer that got into you early on, like it does for so many of us when we're, you know, 5-6 years old?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I grew up in Irvine, started in AYSO. Gosh, I can remember playing games at Irvine High School when I was a kid, you know, 5-6 years old, for AYSO for sure. And then, you know, doing all that growing up and when I came through, club didn't really start till about U14, so yeah, for sure played all that through up until about that age.
Well, at what point did you know that you know soccer was something you were pretty good at and you wanted to keep doing that?
Shoot, to be honest, I don't know. I wasn't blessed, I'll say, with extreme athleticism or extreme talent. I was one of those kids that worked really, really hard. You know, I remember my brother and I when we were in high school saying, all right, let's set a goal for ourselves of touching the ball every day. You know, and at that time, you know, you probably trained twice a week at club for U14 or 15, and then you maybe had a game on the weekend. So you didn't have as much training that's available now and the coaching level that you had now. So we really put a lot of work in to get where we were. And we saw the rewards of it, and obviously we're able to play in college. For me, it was the bug of wanting to be better, be great. And seeing what I could do for myself. And just like our team this year, it's, okay, how good can I get to? What can I do to make myself better? What percent can I put in where to make myself the best version of myself? So
you got a chance to play in college, Vanguard University. For those not familiar, it's an NAIA school. It's a smaller school over in Costa Mesa, but it's a school with a ton of great athletic programs. I mean, all it seems like, you know, we know the soccer program, the women's basketball has won a national championship. I mean, Vanguard has some of the great athletic programs. So to be a part of that for 4 years had to be special as well.
Oh, it was great. Vanguard was such a blessing for me, such a blessing for me. I had welcomed in my son at the time, and it worked out at Vanguard really late. It was Randy Dodge's first year. Randy's over at Aliso. Uh-huh. And also still at Vanguard, and it worked out his first year, and I got over there, and it was great. I tell you, it is so great in my life, and I have several things that led me to believe this is where I'm supposed to be, and Vanguard was for sure one of them. The late Sherry Benvenuti at Vanguard took me in, you know, prayed with me to get into the school, got me in, and the rest kind of just steamrolled from there. We got into married housing. My son was born. We had 2 great years. Vanguard was some of my best friends are all my teammates from Vanguard for sure. So it was, in every sense of the word, it was God sent.
Yeah, Sean Ganey joining us, head boys soccer coach at Modern Day High School. Is that part of what you want to do now as a coach as well? Is it, you know, I can hear it in your voice, you know, so many great memories growing up playing the game and getting a chance to play at the collegiate level. You know, you want to do that now for your kids that you're coaching, right?
For sure. More than that, I want to help them be men of God. I want to help them be character-driven people. I want to help them be servant leaders. You know, I learned early on in my coaching that it's not about how much I can give them of my soccer knowledge that's going to make the difference. It's how I can change them and make them be better people. And that's going to be the most important thing in coaching. You know, I think the soccer will come and yeah, you can impart your knowledge and this and that and help them be better players. But at the end of the day, the players are going to remember the guys who helped them be better people, help them to be better in their profession later on, better in relationships and whatever it is. And so for me, that's what is most important in my coaching, and that's what is the center of my coaching, is how great can we make these kids.
Is that one of the great things that attract you to the job at Modern Day? Obviously you're at Woodbridge before that and a public school, but being at a private Catholic high school, obviously, you know, you can be more open. You can open up about your relationship with God and be able to share that with your players as well.
100% the reason that I took the Modern Day job. You know, I was at Woodbridge, I was happy. Everything was going great, and Coach Matty West here had reached out because he's an Irvine guy as well, and we had a pretty – Irvine's a bubble. You know, all the guys that played soccer at that time kind of know each other, and
right.
He reached out, and he said, hey, the Modern Day job is open. Why don't you interview? And I just said, you know what? I just want to go through the process. Nothing serious. I'm really good at Woodbridge. We were very successful at the time, and I went through the process, and I hit it off with the athletic directors and the dean of athletics at the time. And we shared philosophies of servant leadership. We just all talked, and it was great, and everybody shared, and it was awesome. And all of a sudden, it was like, oh, man, this is where I'm supposed to be, you know? And I prayed on it, and sure enough, like, God led me here. And absolutely, I get to share my faith with the kids every day. I get to share what God's done in my life. I get to share all the lessons in the Bible with the kids. It's awesome. I couldn't be happier where I'm at and more blessed than where I'm at.
Yeah, and if you get the endorsement of Matty West, that means something.
For sure. There is not a better person, and there's very few people that have been more influential in my life, for sure.
Yeah, a great guy. We've had him on the show before. We know what a great guy Matty West is here as well. We're visiting with Sean Ganey, the head boys soccer coach at Modern Day High School, and the Monarchs right there near the top of the Trinity League standings, second place as we speak right here, recording the interview for the show. Servite, right there. Is this a place you want to make long term? You know, your home at Modern Day. Do you see yourself having that long term career here?
Absolutely, absolutely. I love it here. Like I said, I think God put me here for a reason. I get to share my faith. I get to be around kids and work with kids. I teach here, so I see them every single day, and I'm a part of their lives, and they're a part of my life. My wife works here as well. She's in administration, so I get to see her every day. I mean, my son goes here. My roots are firm here at Modern Day. There's no place I'd rather be, 100%. And there's no greater school, and that's a fact. I just, from administration at the top all the way down to the teachers, to the kids, I can't speak highly enough about what Modern Day does for the kids, for the teachers, and the administrators. It's awesome.
And we've seen that so many times where it becomes a family thing, right? The entire family will be at one of Santa Margarita. We see it. Modern Day, we see it. The family's a big theme, you know, that runs through the Catholic schools.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, you look at the coaching staff, and you look at Coach McKnight, you look at Coach Rawlinson, and they've all of them have just opened their arms immediately when you come in and you're part of the staff. To answer any questions, to help any way they can. The athletic directors are so open and willing to help you in any way they can. Administration supportive in any way they can be. The teachers are so good. The kids are unbelievable. It's special. It's a special school here for sure. Obviously, I believe in sending my son here. And in the future, for sure, I'll send my two daughters there. But yeah, I couldn't be in a better place.
Yeah. Coach, I want to thank you for taking a couple of minutes and joining us here. We know it's going to be a fun ride the rest of the way as you head towards that soccer postseason. A lot of great teams out there. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, for sure. Bob, we got to get you out to a game. I'm excited to have you out and watch us play.
I'm coming out for sure. No doubt. We'll make it a date. I'll be out there as soon as I can make it. I appreciate the invitation.
All right, Bob. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Coach. I appreciate it. That's Sean Gainey, the head boys soccer coach at Modern Day High School. The Monarchs are rolling. Just one loss on the season, and it's going to be a lot of fun, as we mentioned, as we look towards Servite, Modern Day, and Santa Margarita, all going to be in the thick of things from the Trinity League when we talk about the CIF playoffs that are upcoming. We'll have some more right here on Catholic Sports View when we come back. Stay with us right here on Relevant Radio.
Join Bishop Tim Fryer, the diocesan choir, and priests from throughout the Diocese of Orange on a pilgrimage to Vatican City and Rome, followed by a Mediterranean cruise departing from Naples that will take our pilgrims to some of the most beautiful and historic sites in Christendom. Visit the birthplace of St. Junipero Serra in Mallorca, Spain. Celebrate Mass in the famed Gaudi Cathedral of Sagrada Familia in Barcelona. And visit Pisa and Florence, Italy. For more information, call 877-538-0010 or go to occatholic.com/travel.
Let's welcome into the show Alan Clinton. He's the head wrestling coach at Servite High School, also the athletic director over at Servite. Coach, thanks for joining us. We're going to talk some wrestling here this morning.
My pleasure. Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. I'd love to talk wrestling. And, of course, anytime you talk wrestling in Southern California, Servite is always in the conversation. Yeah, that's got to be a sense of pride, I think, right off the top, the fact that Servite is always in that conversation.
Well, that's, we enjoy it, and hopefully we always stay there. That's just a good sign of tradition in my mind, you know, staying solid, being a good program year after year. So that's our game plan, so that's what we're going to stick to.
Checking the latest polls in the CIO Southern section, Servite I see is number two, St. John Bosco right there. This has been a good season for Trinity League Wrestling, hasn't it?
Been a great season, and that rivalry just keeps happening year after year, so we just kind of keep trading off. So you've got two outstanding programs in the Trinity League, which is kind of nice.
Is that good for the kids? You know, you have that rival to always be kind of looking at and maybe comparing yourself to and sort of, you know, battling towards?
I think competition is one of the best things we can have. I think that's sometimes one of the things we've lost, you know, a little bit as a society. You got to have good competition. It does no good to walk through people. So, you know, I think it helps you as an all-around person, you know, keeps you mentally prepared, physically prepared. You know, it just makes you stay at a higher bar than anybody else. So I think it's fantastic.
The other side of that, too, is, you know, every year, you know, there's a turnaround. You know, a senior class will graduate and a new freshman class will enter. When a new freshman class does enter and they've decided to become part of the Servite wrestling program, you know, how important is it to have those upperclassmen, you know, teaching the way and kind of leading those younger kids up the ranks?
That's probably one of the most important things, because those new young kids coming in are going to start mirroring what those upperclassmen are doing. And if you've got a group of upperclassmen like I have, that's exactly what you want those young men mirroring. So it's probably one of the most positive things you can have, you know, because it's, you know, it just kind of keeps things in check and keeps things rolling. And it's not like you're having to reteach a lot of areas. The kids just learn what's expected of them, how to react, how to act, how to train. So, you know, and someday those freshmen are going to be seniors, and they're going to be carrying the same load as the seniors they're learning from right now.
I always say some of the best kids you meet at any school are the wrestlers, you know, the wrestling team. It's an individual sport, and it's a very a tough and demanding sport, but it really does bring out the best in the young men, doesn't it?
I agree 100%. I think wrestling is kind of like the real world. As I tell my boys every day, you know, you have good days, you have bad days, you have days when you cry, you have days when you smile, you have days when you laugh, you sleep together, you sweat together, you know, you do, it's really like being in the real world. So most of those young men are so well trained when they get out there, they usually are very successful in whatever they do, you know, whether they're going to be the CEO of a company or whether they're going to, you know, be a trash man. It doesn't really matter. They're going to be probably the most outstanding person there is at that job because they've been so well trained.
Alan Clinton joining us, head wrestling coach at Servite High School. You know, we've talked before about the program. One thing I wanted to talk to you about this time around is your staff. And I know, you know, obviously a head coach is going to get a lot of the credit, and you certainly deserve all the credit you've gotten. And we'll talk about some of the honors that you've gotten. But I know it's so important to build a staff around you as well and to have those assistant coaches who are with you in the trenches, you know, day in, day out.
Oh, 100%, and I'm very blessed. You know, Tony Okada is my assistant with me, and of course, you know, if you know anything about the wrestling world, of course, Tony Okada was a two-time state champion. You know, he was an Olympian for judo. You know, he's just a solid source for me, so we work very well hand in hand, and I've known Tony since he was a little guy. He used to come over and train with me when I was at Elmo. So just a great person, and then of course, as we go down through my lower levels, you know, I've surrounded myself with guys that have been around me a long time, and you know, my frost soft level coaches are all could be varsity coaches if they wanted to, you know, so they do a great job, and my level two coaches are the same thing, they do a great job, and then my youth program, you know, are guys that have been with me a long time, and they just keep building the foundation. If you don't, it's kind of like the minor leagues, boy. If you don't have a great program all the way through, yeah, eventually the empire will crumble, and I'm very blessed to have all of these guys with me working day in, day out, and the credit goes to everybody. I mean, it's a whole program approach with everybody pitching in and doing their part.
And it means so much, I think, to kids to have that message be the same, no matter if you're on the frosh soft level or you're the top varsity kid, that message coming from the coaching staff is the same message each and every day.
Exactly, and the kids learn that the playing field is the same for everybody, and I you know, that's one of the things that in high school sports, even probably even in college sports, that kind of runs into a problem. They see differences in the playing field, and the one thing here is the playing field is the same at every level and treated the same way, and so the kids are used to it, and I think there's a high respect for that, you know, and the coaches understand the philosophy, and they all stick to it, and it works very well for us.
Alan Clinton joining us, head wrestling coach at Servite High School. The Friars are currently ranked second, but as we talked about, there's that rivalry with St. John Bosco. That could be 1-2 either direction. Just about a month ago, back in December, you know, you had a big the Wrestling Mart Man Classic at a new location this year. Tell us a little bit about that tournament and what that means.
Well, the Man Classic has been my tournament for quite some time. We love it. It brings in a variety of teams from all over. You know, we had teams from Colorado, Arizona this year. We were at Marina High School this year, which was a great partner with us in going through. We had Wrestling Mart was our number one sponsor. Man Classic, of course, is one of my ex-parents, and his company has been one of our sponsors. But Wrestling Mart got on board this year, which was huge, and, you know, advertising and everything like that. So the tournament itself has become one of the better tournaments in the southern section, maybe in the state, to go to, you know, with a great variety of teams coming from all over the state and from outside the state.
Is there kind of a battle for teams that want to get in there because they know it's so high profile?
Yeah, because what happens is just because I believe in quality over quantity, we have a cutoff. So once we get to a certain point, we close the tournament. So you better get in early if you want to get involved. So which has worked very well for us, you know, and ends up just being a great, great wrestling weekend.
30 seasons in now as a coach in the southern section. We know El Medina High School where you got your start and now continuing the legacy over at Servite. I know you had a great honor back in 2016, inducted into the National Wrestling Hall of Fame. I mean, what an honor that's got to be. I know we've kind of maybe talked and touched on it before, but when you've had a chance to reflect on it, you know, what does that mean to you personally?
Well, you know, it's kind of like it's probably the highest honor you can get. You know, I mean, it's kind of like being inducted into the, you know, the NFL Hall of Fame type situation. You know, you're selected amongst a group of your peers to be put into that, and that, you know, it's a very small group. So I don't know if you can get a better honor. I'm fortunate enough this year that both Tony and I are going in at the same time. We're kind of excited. We're going into the California Wrestling Hall of Fame this year.
Oh, wow.
And we're both going in at the same time, so we're kind of excited about that. So, you know, all those honors are just fantastic, but in order to get those honors, it takes a lot of people around you to give you guidance and support all the way through. So, you know what I mean? If it wasn't for my mom and dad and my family and all those things, first of all, I wouldn't have had the opportunity, but my coaching that I've had over the years and all that kind of stuff, you know, to learn and mentor from. So it's really a community honor, but it's the highest thing that you can get. So I'm very privileged, you know, to have those honors. You know, it's just very humbling to me.
Alan Clinton is joining us this week on Catholic Sports View, the head wrestling coach at Servite High School. One thing that I noticed, I was kind of back and looking at the press release from that and everything, it said, you know, that you were inducted as both a wrestler and a coach. And we talked so much about your coaching career, but I kind of want to touch on, you know, you as a wrestler and when the wrestling bug kind of got into you and when you fell in love with the sport.
I actually, I'm from the Central Valley. So I was very fortunate. I went to Menachie High School up in Porterville, California. A guy by the name of Drew Williams was my wrestling coach, convinced me to come out as a freshman. So I actually started as a freshman and got the opportunity to wrestle for him and then went from there to Porterville Junior College and wrestled for a gentleman by the name of Darrell Williams, was an All-American, and then was very honored to have the opportunity to come down and wrestle at Cal State Fullerton here, and that's how I ended up in the Southern section, you know, wrestling down here at Cal State Fullerton, and then working on my teaching credential and, you know, training with national teams and stuff. Just got the honor to stay here, and my coaches convinced me that education was probably the avenue I should take, and it's what I did, and here we are today, you know. So I had some good guidance along the way and some good people there, so that's how the bug got started way back when.
Yeah, obviously there's so much God-given ability that that is in, you know, any great athlete, but you know, can you even begin to explain the amount of work physically and not just physically, but of course mentally, that goes into becoming, you know, that level of a wrestler?
You know what? And when you take the sports, wrestling to me is what I call the all around sports. You have to have every aspect, you know, the mental, the physical, you know, the spiritual. You have to have all of them because it's a grind. You know, between dieting and weight training and mat training and traveling and all that kind of stuff. There's a certain aspect that kind of makes the difference, a fine line as I call it, because there's some great guys that eventually that wears on, and you kind of got to just, you know, grind through it. And unfortunately, probably from my upbringing, from my mom and dad, I call myself a grinder. You know, I had to grind through it, and it's paid off for me. So, you know, it's as I tell young men all the time, if it was for everybody, you know, everybody would be out here doing it, but it's not. Wrestling's you know, we got a little different Kirk to us, you know, so I wouldn't change it for the world.
Yeah, it's true. Wrestling's that one sport where it weeds out the ones that aren't going to be able to go long-term in it pretty quick, doesn't it?
Exactly, yeah. You weed out real, real quick in that world, without a doubt. Real, real quick.
So true. As you head now into, league finals are right around the corner, Trinity League finals, and we'll go into Masters. And then, of course, you'll have plenty of wrestlers that are going to probably wrestle up for a state championship up in the northern part of the state as well. How excited are you for this group of wrestlers? And give us some of the guys this year who really have a chance to get to that high level.
Well, I'm very excited. I mean, this is kind of the, you know, I always tell the kids the two most exciting times of the year is the day wrestling season opens, and then, of course, when we get into postseason play, because it goes so fast and so quick, don't blink because we'll miss it. So it's very exciting for me. I have a really solid group of young men going through, I mean, from top to bottom. As we hit, you know, I've got Andrew Silva, who starts off at 108s for me, and then we come right down the line with Josh Medina, Daniel Magana, Mario Cazarin, Marcos Magana, Troy Mandrigal, Daniel Gerardo. I mean, the list goes on and on. And we've had some injuries this year. You know, right now, Teddy Okada, who's Tony's son, who's been a big, big plus for us, you know, had an injury up in Reno, and we probably won't have him at all for the season. But a kid that fortunately is only a junior that will come back, you know, and do well. We have another kid by the name of Valor Buck, who's only a sophomore that also had an injury at the man and probably won't come back, but fortunately I have kids right behind that are just as solid. So I'm looking forward to the season, and we're well balanced. You know, we've got a group of sophomores, juniors, and seniors, so it's kind of a nice situation to have. Kind of reminds me of a college team. You know, we don't have 12 seniors and 2 underclassmen. We're pretty much spread out across the board in equalness on the levels of grades we have, which is kind of a nice situation.
Does it feel like a long road? You mentioned how quickly the season goes, but does it feel like when you're in the midst of it, it's a long road to get to Bakersfield?
It's not, it's not a long road. It actually goes very quickly.
Yeah.
You have to be prepared. I think the key that the kids have to learn is the competition that we have to face. What you have to go through in the southern section is a grind. And so that grind wears on you more mentally than physically, probably, you know, because every week you have to be mentally prepared for high level competition, but it goes real quick, so you don't have time to make a mistake. You know, so you've got to be mentally prepared. You don't get to, as I tell the kids, all we've been doing all year long is taking quizzes, but now we're into the final exam. And so, you know, you're taking the final exam, and this is what your grade's going to be on. And you did real well on the quizzes, but the teacher's going to base everything on the final exam. When I say that, you know, I tell them, hey, the papers, you know, the media, the social media, they only remember what you did for me yesterday, you know, type situation. So you've got to be on your game. And so it flies, but it's a grind for these young men to go through. So they just have to, our job is to keep them mentally focused.
Yeah, and that chance to get to the Rabobank Arena and that packed house and that crazy atmosphere in Bakersfield at the end, that's all worth it, right?
Oh, well worth it. I mean, that's the dream of dreams, where you want all your kids to be, you know, type situation. That's what you hope for, and that's what you hope their memories hope for.
Yeah, so true. Coach, I want to thank you for joining us again here on Catholic Sports View. Good luck to the Friars, and I know we're going to be seeing some champions here within the next couple of weeks.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for having me on. I greatly appreciate it.
Absolutely. I want to thank Alan Clinton once again and all my guests this week. Sean Ganey with Modern Day Soccer. Of course, Ryan Lillingren with the Diocese of Orange. Don't forget, get out there. Get your tickets to Ducks Catholic Night. Not too late. Get those tickets. And, of course, I want to thank Frank Burleson, and we'll see him out at the Nike Extravaganza as well. I want to thank you for listening as well. And if you want to listen to this show again or any of the others we have archived, simply go to OCCatholic.com/radio. You can also catch us on our Twitter, and that's @CatholicSV. Of course, that stands for Sports View. You can catch us on Twitter there. And you can also catch us on our email site. Send us an email if you'd like to. CatholicSportsView@gmail.com. If you have any story ideas or any feedback on the show as well, that's CatholicSportsView@gmail.com. I am Bob Gibson, and we'll see you next week right here on Catholic Sports View.